This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hockey Brewers. All right, let's get to our guy.
It's time for your Green and Gold update on Wisconsin Sports Daily, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
Okay, joining us now for our Green and Gold update is the aforementioned Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, Packers beat writer. And, of course, Ryan was in Indianapolis. He was at the scrimmage. Ryan Wood was, of course, at the preseason game. Ryan Wood back in Green Bay with practices going on this week. Seattle coming up next. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. Ryan, did you take more away from the Packers-Colts scrimmage, or did you take more away from the actual preseason game?
Well, I took nothing away from the preseason game. They sat 29 guys. So, like, anyone that mattered in the grand scheme of things, did not play Saturday. And what was nice is it gave you a pretty good look at who the Packers view as the top half of their roster, because that's literally, you know, that's more than half of 53. So, in general, the joint practices are always more beneficial just in terms of evaluation. I look at preseason, you're evaluating the individual. What Saturday was for the Packers was an exercise in player development. You got a bunch of young guys. You got maybe a second-round offensive lineman. Go let them have five penalties and learn from it, you know, and Anthony Belton. The unit evaluation, it really happens in joint practices. How does the offensive line, defensive line look? How does the offense, defense look? Those type of things. And I got to tell you, Sparky, I don't know how much to even take from that, because the Colts are so god-awful. That is a terrible foot. They are 5-12 bad. I mean, it went I covered Packers defense on Thursday. At the start of practice, I'm thinking, Jeff Hafley's got to really like this. Like, I just finished right at the start of team reps. I was telling someone who covers the Colts, like, you know, the Packers, their defensive line, that they haven't, you know, that's the big question. Can they rush the passer? I don't know if they can. That first team period, Sparky, they had five sacks. Yep. And sometimes in practice, it's hard to tell a sack. Quarterbacks are in the red jersey. It's not hard to tell a sack when an unblocked defensive rusher is running past the quarterback because he can't hit him. That's the type of sacks I'm talking
about.
And
it wasn't like the Colts didn't have their starting unit out there. That was the Colts' starting unit, wasn't it?
Starting offensive line. Yeah. Now, you know, who knows if they have a quarterback? Because if you have two, if your options at quarterback are Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones, you don't have a quarterback.
Correct.
I think that's where Indy is. So it went from, okay, Jeff Hafley's got to be really happy with this, to late in practice thinking, like, Jeff Hafley can't be very happy with this. They're not getting good work here. They can't block anyone. They don't have a quarterback. I mean, one rep, Sparky, Adonai Mitchell and Michael Pittman Jr., both were off a jump false start because Anthony Richardson couldn't get the cadence right. We're talking about bare basics. But what you want to see from a unit that is overmatching their opponent is that they come in, they overwhelm, they dominate. That's what the Packers defense did. They finished the practice with 10 sacks. It was as dominant as I've ever seen the Packers defense in a joint practice going back to many, many years. They've been doing this for a while now with Matt LaFleur.
Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, Packers beat writer. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. Joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan. Sparky, with you. What about Jordan Morgan? He got some run out there at left tackle. We played a little bit of Adam Senevich from yesterday, calling it a competition. Before I get into his comments that irritated me, let's first start by what you've made from Jordan Morgan so far, who, based on one thing that I saw earlier today, said that he hasn't given up a pressure yet in two preseason games, and he was playing against the starters, apparently, for the Jets and the Colts. What do you take away from Jordan Morgan?
He's been good. He looks much better at left tackle than he ever did at guard, which shouldn't be surprised because all he played at Arizona when he three college seasons was left tackle.
Right.
They moved him to guard last year, and it looked like he'd never played guard before because he'd never played guard before. We know he has the athleticism. That athleticism is why he was a first-round pick. He's got great feet. You throw a speed rush at him, he's got the ability to just erase it. An outside speed rush, he can mirror. He's always on balance. You see that. I think what's been surprising and impressive to me is that he also plays with a strong anchor. You throw a bull at him, he has the strength to really dig in his feet, stay on balance, and not get whipped by power. And you put those two things together, and the arm length is always going to be a question with him. He's got sub-34-inch length arms. That's below the standard that you want at left tackle. But with that kind of athleticism, that kind of balance, that footwork, he looks like a left tackle. And then you, with Rashid Walker being out because of a groin injury, just coming back, that's opened up a ton of reps in this camp for Jordan Morgan to be at his home position at left tackle. I think it's a fascinating battle there. I would not be surprised at all if week one against the Lions, you see some type of rotation between Rashid Walker and Jordan Morgan, because Rashid Walker's got a high floor, and at the end of the day, you need to protect the franchise. You need to protect Jordan Love's blind side. But they're also, the upside with Jordan Morgan's very real, and you need to develop your first-round pick, too. The only way to do that is with real snaps. So I wouldn't be surprised you see some sort of rotation early in this season at left tackle.
Stupid. Let me first start off by saying this. The Adam Stenovich comment of him talking about, well, you know, Rashid Walker really hasn't been out there, and really the best way to judge guys when you see him out there. Okay, look, man, I get that. If it's Ben Johnson evaluating an offensive lineman in Chicago, you know, he called offense in Detroit, didn't really care about the Bears' offense in Chicago. He's seen film, but he's never seen the dude up close. I get Ben Johnson saying that. I do not understand Adam Stenovich saying that, who has been with Rashid Walker the entire time Rashid Walker has been in Green Bay. You know what he can and cannot do. Jordan Morgan, on the other hand, fine. He's got to play to show you what he can do. This whole thing, look, if you want to name Jordan Morgan the starter, then name Jordan Morgan the starter. Don't be stringing us along here, trying not to hurt Rashid Walker's feelings, when in all honesty, you've been trying to screw Rashid Walker since you drafted Jordan Morgan.
I don't know if they're trying to screw him.
Yes,
I think
they are. They don't want to pay him, Ryan, so that's why they took him.
I don't think that has anything to do with it once it's week one. I think what you have here, Sparky, is you have Rashid Walker, who's very high floor, very low ceiling. You have Jordan Morgan right now at this point in his development, which is lower floor, much higher ceiling. He's more athletic. There's a reason why he's a first-round pick. The caliber and play between the two, not all that different. Not you know, Jordan Morgan's not giving up much at left tackle when he's out there. Neither is Rashid Walker.
Right.
Keeping both eyes fresh is not bad if you don't have a liability, and neither of these guys are a liability.
Then why did you take him? Who? Take him? If Rashid Walker wasn't giving up sacks and was doing his job, then just pay Rashid Walker and move on. But that's not what they wanted to do. They wanted to pay Zach Tom, and they didn't want to have to pay both tackles, so they were going to roll the dice and go with the inexperienced left tackle going forward. That's why they took Morgan. You can't tell me, again, maybe I'll be wrong, so fine if I am. But if all of a sudden,
I like that you throw that caveat in there. Yeah, maybe you're wrong.
It happens. Okay. But if Jordan Morgan ends up being some Pro Bowl, all-pro left tackle, then clearly I'm wrong, and they made the right choice. But until I see that, if he ends up being, you know, just a middle-of-the-road type left tackle, which is what Rashid Walker is. Rashid Walker's not bad, but he's not a superstar left tackle either. If that's what Morgan ends up being, then this was clearly just about the money.
Well, welcome to professional sports. It's always
Correct.
About the money. This is a,
right.
This is a cap league. At the end of the day, if the worst thing is you get three more years of quality left tackle play at cheaper
Exactly.
rookie salary, that's not a bad thing.
Correct.
Not in a capped league. So that's the worst case scenario. I don't know what Jordan Morgan's going to be. He has more upside. I don't know that he'll reach his upside. That's called potential. But if he does, then you're looking at it. Sometimes in the draft, you might like a guy. Okay, Rashid Walker, fine left tackle. Not a special left tackle. If you think Jordan Morgan can be a special left tackle and he gives you three more cheaper years, that's not a bad pick. It's just a matter of does he go out and do that. I think the plan with Jordan Morgan has made much more sense than a year ago. Last year, Jordan Morgan had a miserable rookie year from the shoulder injury, and he played through that the first part of the season. That started in camp to right after the draft, Matt LaFleur saying, okay, we're going to give him his first reps at left tackle. He's drafted as a left tackle. That's the plan. And then almost immediately scrapping the plan, being like, nope, psych, he's a guard, because you look at right guard, Sean Ryan, there might be a better chance for him to get on the field there. That's Jordan Morgan went through whiplash last year, physically, mentally on the field. Now he's stabilized and he's showing you something. It's early. I don't know where he goes. I don't know if he reaches that potential, but I don't see how this is a bad thing.
He is Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, Packers beat writer. Follow him on Twitter by Ryan Wood. If I'm Rashid Walker, and if Jordan Morgan starting week one and that they give him that job, I ask for a trade immediately. Cool. Trade me the Bears. I'll go start in Chicago. They'll take me.
How's that going to help Rashid Walker in September?
Who cares? Rashid Walker needs to get paid. And if Rashid Walker's on the bench not being allowed to play left tackle because you're trying to run this inexpensive option out there, if I'm Rashid Walker, I want to go start somewhere because you're screwing me financially going into my walk year.
He can go start somewhere, but are you just assuming that Rashid Walker is going to get top 10 left tackle money if he plays through this season?
No, this is what I do know.
That's not a certainty.
No, I think he's going to get top 12 to top 15, and if he's sitting, he's not even going to get that, because any team is going to go, dude, you weren't even starting. You got beat out. Like, I'm not giving you top 15 money if you weren't even starting in Green Bay at this point. It's going to cost him millions of dollars if he is sitting on the bench watching Morgan play left tackle.
He hasn't. If he's sitting, that means he hasn't won the job. If he hasn't won the job, he's not going to get that money anyway.
I'm just telling you, if I'm Rashid Walker, this was never about me. This was about getting him out there. I've been hurt, and they're telling me, well, we have to see what you look like when you've watched me my whole career. Like, give me a break. Yeah, don't try and pull that one over my eyes.
I think when they say we need to see what you look like, and I understand, he is the incumbent starter. He started some 30-plus games in a row. But he is in a competition because there is a first-round pick here who is a college left tackle who has played very well this camp at left tackle, and that creates a competition. So when they say, I need to see what you are actually doing, it is in context to against Jordan Morgan, because Jordan Morgan is here. He is playing well. Can you beat him or not? And that's up to Rashid Walker.
All right, let's move on, because you and I are just going to disagree, go back and forth all day. Let's talk about Belton, the second-round pick, who was atrocious in the first half of that game to the point where even LaFleur was yelling at him for everybody to see. And I don't feel like that's something that Matt LaFleur does a whole ton in his tenure. I think he's done it before, maybe once or twice. But to light him up in a preseason game like that, that was something else. And obviously, it woke him up a little bit because it seemingly played better in the second half.
You know, I'm not sure I've ever, in all my years of watching football, tell me if you've ever, because I was in the press box trying to think if I've ever seen this before. I don't think I've ever seen the same guy line up wrong for an illegal formation twice in three snaps.
Agreed. Same.
That is hard to do because, okay, it happens once. And if you line up wrong once, you know how you lined up wrong, and then you line up the right way the next time.
Right.
So, and both those penalties took away huge plays. I mean, the Ben Sims touchdown, and then the 17-yarder to, I think, Will Shepard two plays later. It's good that it's preseason, because Anthony Belton does have a lot of talent. He is 6'6", 336 pounds. He can play tackle or guard. He's athletic. The Packers love his play style. We saw that when he pushed the pile over the goal line of the Amar Johnson touchdown. You know, he stood up by three Colts defenders. They ran it off of Anthony Belton on the right side. He blew his guy 5 yards off the ball, and then he's looking for more work. There's more work, and he pushes the pile. I mean, that's a phenomenal play from a young offensive lineman. Five penalties in one quarter is just, it's hard to do. I think it's a testament that he was able to keep his wherewithal and finish the second half at a high level, because that can put you in the dumps real quick. So he's a young guy. He's got to get it quick, because if the Packers keep their best five out there and they stay healthy like they did last year, perfectly likely that Anthony Belton doesn't see the field much, but he also might be their top backup at four spots, both tackles potentially, and then both guard spots, at least three. So he's a guy that they need to rely on for depth, and if Attrition hits that offensive line, they're going to use him whenever that happens.
Joey Ortiz, infield single, scores another, still one out, 4-0 Brewers now, with Bryce Turang coming up here in the top of the eighth against the Trader and the Cubs. Talking with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, Packers beat writer. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. Joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan. What about Marshawn Lloyd? There's another young guy from last year who I think just oozes talent. Unfortunately, he also oozes injuries. And appendicitis and everything else that he's gone through. He gets hurt again with a hamstring issue, it looks like, this time, and is going to miss some more time. I feel horrible for him. I really do.
I mean, what can you do at this point, right? And I thought it was very telling yesterday when Matt LaFleur said he really likes the skill set. Because when Marshawn Lloyd has been healthy, which has been a blip on the radar, it's barely happened. But when he's been healthy, he's looked good. He's got burst. He hits the hole hard. That play he made down the right sideline was a phenomenal catch for anyone, especially for a running back. I mean, on a wheel route, you're laying out for it. You go and get it. Like, that was a superb play, and then boom, the hamstring goes. I don't know what to make of the injury, Sparky. I mean, at this point, what, is he starting the season on the IR again, most likely? Because that's a hamstring. That's not going to be a quick fix. It's 8 days to cut down day now. But I think the other side of that is with them liking the skill set, they're not ready to move on from the player either. They're going to be patient with him because they like the talent there. They've just got to figure out a way to keep him healthy.
I said earlier, and I've been saying it for a couple of weeks, I guess, now, that I firmly believe that Josh Jacobs is going to get less carries this year. And I think they're going to try to utilize it maybe a little bit more in the passing game, but they really want somebody else to take, you know, maybe 50 to 60 carries from what he had last year. This year, is Wilson going to be that guy? He definitely showed flashes last year.
You know, you can count on one hand the number of teams last year that had a 1,000-yard rusher and a 500-yard rusher. The Packers were one. Emmanuel right. Wilson had over 500 yards. And people just, you know, when Josh Jacobs is offering a top five season for a Packers running back in history, it's easy to forget that, oh, yeah, Emmanuel Wilson's pretty good too. I don't know that I subscribe to the theory that Josh Jacobs is going to get substantially fewer carries. I think it's he's just one of those dudes, the way he's built. They're rare now. He is the epitome of a workhorse. I was surprised this offseason. I talked multiple times with Josh Jacobs about, did you do anything different? 300 plus carries this offseason? He's like, no, I felt as good as I ever did last year, and that's how he feels now. So he's ready to go. He's ready to be a workhorse, but I do think there's an awful lot of peace of mind from the Packers standpoint, knowing you've got one of the better backup running backs in the league. I mean, Emmanuel Wilson's a guy that can go out there, and the play that Emmanuel Wilson had the fumble, right? But the play that he made on the Colts linebacker down the right sideline, when it sure looked like he didn't have the angle, and he just, whoop, he puts on the Jets. That's what Emmanuel Wilson does. He's an ideal complement to Josh Jacobs' bruising running style because Emmanuel Wilson gives you that kind of speed. They've got to be awfully happy with their 1-2 punch in the backfield.
Brian, why didn't Matthew Golden play?
Why didn't he play?
Yeah.
Because he might be their wide receiver one in September.
I mean, he's healthy, right?
Yeah, he's healthy. No, yeah. They didn't want to expose him to injury.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody else is hurt in the wide receiving core. Why? And then Savion Williams does play, and then he leaves with he has a hamstring injury too.
Yeah, that another guy who, you know, Adam Sinovich was very clear, like, I like what I'm seeing from Savion Williams a lot. His ability with the football in his hands is something that can help this Packers offense. But it has been a revolving door of injuries this camp, from concussion. He entered with a shoulder. Not sure what he has right now. It's undisclosed right now. He's got to stay healthy. He's in that same boat. And there's a ton of injuries on this roster right now. But he's got to stay healthy. When he's been healthy, he's looked pretty good.
What about Jordan Love? I saw that he was supposed to practice again this week. Do we think he scrimmages against Seattle?
It'll be interesting. Today in practice, when it, you know, it was raining most of the time, so he had that plastic bag over his left hand to keep the stitches clean.
Right.
When he was they had 2 7-on-7 periods today, which Matt LaFleur hates 7-on-7. And you can see why when you watch 7-on-7. It just doesn't do a good job of really replicating actual football. But they didn't want any linemen around Jordan Love, so they have 2 7-on-7 periods today. His throwing is fine. But he's mimicking under center snaps off a stool so that it's less force on his hand.
Sure.
And for shotgun snaps, he's in shotgun. He just starts with the ball in his hand. He doesn't catch it. It lessens the force on his hand. So they're protecting that injury right now, and it really only affects him because it is the left thumb on snaps and handoffs. I don't know that they're going to be all gung-ho about putting him out there Thursday if he can't take snaps. So we'll have to see.
There he is, Ryan Wood. Again, follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. And I can't let you go without asking if your Mets are going to be all right, because they've gone through some stuff here lately.
I just want to make clear, Sparky, that I have in no way enjoyed the baseball updates during this time with you.
Well,
I
could go without thinking about baseball. It's 7-0 Brewers now. They're going to the bottom of the eighth. Yeah.
Hey, nothing against the Brewers, man. That has been phenomenal to watch. It's been a little bit of distraction from how much I'm hurting with my boys in Queens right now. It's not good, Sparky. The sky is falling.
There's no reason to be worried about the sky falling. Just get into the playoffs and then just get hot, right? I mean, like I've been telling everybody the same thing. Cub fans, Met fans, whatever fan you are, the Brewers have been hot for like 2.5 months, and that is amazing and awesome. 3 months maybe. That's great, but the only thing that matters comes postseason time is who is still hot in the postseason. And teams that are cold now could get hot in the postseason. The Brewers could go ice cold, and none of this really matters other than providing a fun summer of entertainment, which we are all appreciating, and free burgers and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it only matters what happens in the postseason for most teams.
I have seen exactly zero to inspire any level of confidence in me that the Mets are going to be the team that you just described there. I don't have it.
I mean, realistically, y'all shouldn't have beat the Brewers last year hadn't been for Devin Williams, who, by the way, has since left and is still equally bad. Pete Alonso wrecked and ruined Devin Williams' career by himself.
I didn't mind that part.
He completely wrecked his career. And Williams is going into free agency after this year, just costing himself millions and millions of dollars. Crazy.
Baseball, man. It's football season. I try to actively avoid what's going on in Queens right now.
Yeah, if Rashid Walker sucked like Devin Williams, I'd understand this whole thing, but he doesn't. Ryan, thank you so much.
I love that you're the Rashid Walker truther here.
You're damn right I am. He's getting screwed. It irritates me to no end. Nope, I'm done. All right, see you later, Ryan. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
There he is, Ryan Wood, joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Kruber Law. One call. That's all. Like I said, Brewers up over the Chicago Cubs 7-0. You notice the one thing that's kind of changed here in the last handful of games? They've decided to go with Canning in the eighth all of a sudden, but I think it's more having to do with where they are in the lineup versus where they decide to pitch Uribe, because Canning is definitely not Uribe at all. So now this is, what, the second game in a row, third game in a row, where Canning has come in here in the eighth inning and Uribe pitches that seventh inning. Now, again, do they need to pitch Canning in the eighth inning? No. They could have saved Canning and pitched somebody else. God knows, they didn't pitch hardly anybody out of the bullpen yesterday to save everybody for this series. But either way, 7-0 Brewers over the Cubs, one out in the eighth inning. We'll do a little post-game recap wrap-up once.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.